All right, John, so we're at noon, so I think you can go ahead and take us away.
Thank you, Karen. Good day, everybody. I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, May 22, 2023 to order. And I understand the roll call will be done electronically. So I assume we can just move on to public forum, correct, Kara?
Yep, that's correct. Just a reminder to folks, if you can change how you're logged in to indicate your full name and your affiliation, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Kara. Public forum, anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Seeing none, hearing none, going once, twice, three times, we're done. Move on to adoption of the minutes of the Transportation Committee meeting held on April 24, 2023. I'd entertain a motion.
Larry Burrell, so moved.
Thank you, Larry. Is there a second?
Greg Summer, second.
Thank you. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, seeing none. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstentions. Again, please, your name and your affiliation.
Kevin Kelly from Hebron's abstaining.
Thank you, Kevin.
Any Devin other Copperweight, Stafford.
Thank you, Devin. Any other abstentions? The minutes are approved as distributed. Move on to staff reports. The first one's on 60 seconds for safety. Roger, please.
Sure. So our regional transportation safety plan, what we plan to do is to make some edits to that for approval at the June Transportation Committee meeting, acting as policy board. And we wanted to make these edits so that's available for Safe Streets for All funding applications, should you choose to apply. That is our due July 10th. And it's most important if you'd be applying for an implementation grant. So those implementation grants are for design, right-of-way, construction, et cetera. Not as important probably if you're applying for a planning and demonstration grant. So what we plan to amend, we're working on revising, and we will have that available for distributed for the June meeting. We're including as an appendix the preliminary results from our roundabout screening methodology, which have been distributed at several past TC meetings. It describes the methodology used and the three lists that have been prepared showing recommended project locations. And we also do some minor edits to the town appendix material. Southington, I have some edits. And I also have for Mansfield, I don't have a bullet on your screen there for Mansfield, but I have some edits for Mansfield, some minor text edits for both of those. So that's our plan for updating that. And you'll see more of that at next month's meeting. That's what I have for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions?
No, hey, John, can I just add something really quick that I forgot to mention up front? It's Kara. Just to let everyone know, CTN is in attendance at today's meeting. And just wanted to let everyone know that the meeting is being broadcast. Apologies, I meant to say that at the top.
No apology necessary, Kara. Thanks. IIJABIL update, Elizabeth?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me. We have included some next steps for the Safe Streets and Roads for All application process that is underway. We're working with a few towns already that have submitted intent to apply forms and trying to just stay on track for that July 10th deadline that Roger mentioned for round two. So the next upcoming deadline would be for requesting letters of support for from Connecticut DOT for projects that involve state right-of-way. And we've asked towns to provide this in certain key information that the state has requested to us by this week. So May 23rd was the initial date that we had included, sent out, previously communicated. So, but we can, still accept those requests. They're looking for some key information. So if you are interested in applying and have not submitted an intent to apply form, please contact me as soon as possible, or Roger as well. Our plan is to take in those requests and to meet the state's deadline of May 30th is when they've requested that. And CROG will submit those requests for letter of support on behalf of the towns. Town road projects, if it's just municipal owned roads, the letter of support is not required from Connecticut DOT, but we can facilitate getting letters of support from CROG as well as CT Built, the state's team for the BIL project. Excuse me. The supplemental planning and demonstration activities are encouraged for this round two. The narrative is only 2 pages. Roger and I are working on a template to distribute out to the towns that are interested in preparing that application. I've also prepared a template for the implementation grant applications and kind of targeting out who's going to be receiving those templates so that we can not overwhelm. But if you are interested in receiving a template, please reach out to me as soon as possible and I can forward that to you. And then also the planning and demonstration template will be ready hopefully shortly today or tomorrow. So we did receive the intent to apply form from Berlin, Hartford, Mansfield, Southington, Wethersfield. And just a reminder to apply for your SAM.gov registration and get your unique entity identification number. Those are required from the federal government to apply for federal grants. And next item is the project screening. So we've offering the service that if you have a project and you're not sure what federal funding may be available for that, that's something that I can help you to determine. So if you would like to participate, you can send information about your project and I can do a review of currently available federal funding opportunities to see what would be, what you may be eligible for. And so just looking for some key information, just a simple email of your municipality, your name and contact information, a project description, location, the roadway ownership, whether it involves state right-of-way, the goals and purpose of the project, the anticipated total cost, the amount of funding needed, and the type of sources of local match, as well as a description of any preliminary work that you've completed. And next. And just an overview of some of the other federal funding transportation related programs we're tracking: the USDOT Protect, promoting resilient operations for transformative, efficient, and cost-saving transportation. This is a discretionary grant program offering $848 million nationwide to make transportation infrastructure more resilient to climate change and extreme weather events and reduce damage and disruption to the transportation system, improving safety of the traveling public and improve equity by addressing the needs of disadvantaged communities, often most vulnerable to hazards. There's more information on the CROG's BIL webpage about this program, as well as the other programs that are open right now, including the charging and fueling infrastructure program that is also still open with an extended deadline of June 13th. So Protect, this program here is applications are due August 18th. And if you're interested in applying for this or learning more, please just reach out. And a couple other programs we're tracking is the Reconnecting Communities. We're anticipating that to come back out later this spring, as well as the Bridge Investment Program. Looking forward to announcements of that in this summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any questions for Elizabeth? Hearing none, we'll move on to utilization of our commuter parking lots with Kara.
Thanks, John. So we, again, in April, went out and did our biannual utilization counts of all of the commuter park and ride lots in the region. We continue to see numbers that are just above half of pre-COVID levels, but in each of the counts since 2022, there has been a small increase each time, and we did continue to see this trend. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the next handful of counts go. We will be back out in October doing our next biannual count, but it was somewhat encouraging to see at least a bit of a bump this spring compared to the fall.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions? Kara can continue with the MAP forum spring meeting.
Absolutely, thank you. So we are just sharing as an FYI, CROG is a member of the Metropolitan Area Planning Forum, or the MAP Forum. It's a consortium of COGS and MPOs in Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, and Northern New Jersey. And we look at kind of regional planning concerns and cooperation. So it is CROG's turn to host the annual spring meeting. So that will be being held virtually on June 2nd. Matt and Mayor Stewart will be giving the introductions. We have Commissioner Garrett Ugolito doing an intro, and then we'll have a few regional issues presentations, one from the DOT and the Greater Hartford Mobility Study team, and then also NVCOG and MetroCOG will be presenting on the Route 8 study that they worked on, and then there will be report outs from the various working groups of the MAP Forum. This event is open to the public, and I will put the registration link in the chat if anyone is interested in attending.
Thank you, Kara. And now from our esteemed leader, Matt.
Good afternoon, John. Great to see everyone. Welcome to today's meeting. I just have a very, very short report today. Just two items. Number one, I want to emphasize the service that Elizabeth Sanderson highlighted, assisting our member towns with evaluating federal funding opportunities. Really want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Again, if you've got an infrastructure project in mind, maybe it's in your capital improvement plan, maybe it's a little bit down the road, but if you think it might qualify for federal funding, you know, we're here to help you assess that. So I think we've only had one or two towns take advantage of that service thus far, and really would like to see more of our members. It's something we're piloting that we're hoping can be a very fruitful and successful initiative in the future. And then my second item, John, wanted to emphasize that we're going to be holding our annual meeting on the afternoon of June 15th at the Riverfront Recapture Boathouse in Hartford. It's a lovely venue. If you've never been there before, we've invited Michelle McCabe, who's the executive director of Connecticut Main Street, to serve as our keynote speaker. You all should have received an invitation already, and hopefully several of you will be able to attend our annual meeting. So that's it for today, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I'd like to just reemphasize both those, but particularly your first point, and encourage all of our member communities to certainly look at taking advantage of this really excellent service and guidance that CROG is now offering to us in terms of finding our way through the federal grant bureaucracy and being able to match up opportunities for funding. I recognize that some of them may require matching grants, which is obviously an issue, but CROG has also indicated a willingness to see if there are opportunities where they can assist there in terms of nudging the state along in terms of its willingness to assist the municipalities in that regard. But I would urge you all to take a good hard look at taking advantage of this this service that CROG's now providing. A great, great idea. Number five, Kathy Lutz on the phone with us.
Yeah, but John, before Kathy gets on board, I just had something to mention under other. And I'm sorry
Rob, I skipped right over that.
No, I didn't give you a heads up on it. So my apologies. But basically, as some of you may know, there is an executive order out for the DOT to provide a VMT, or vehicle miles traveled reduction target, for a future year. And we did find, this has been out there for a while, we did find some initial information from DOT. And the only thing is I'm hesitant to share it because we have not conversed with DOT, and I plan to do that. And we plan to share the information we have at the next June meeting. They did set a target. They have not, so I don't know if it's a preliminary target or not. It was 5% below VMT reduction below the 2019 VMTs by 2030. And there's some rationale in a mini report that we saw, but the COGS are busy coordinating with each other and with DOT regarding that. And we'll give you a more full update in June. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. Now we can move on to the legislative update. Is Kathy on or someone else on from Rome Smith Lutz?
I'm here, John.
Welcome.
How are you? I have some specifics, but unfortunately, because nothing is really yet done on these issues, Rob had asked for some specifics, mentioning Vision Zero, which I'm sure you're all aware is a very, very large bill with a lot of pieces in it. And we don't believe that it has even hit all the committees yet. It needs to. For example, it hasn't yet been to the Judiciary Committee. It's been to Transportation and Appropriations. There are pieces in it that we've heard pretty definitively won't remain. The helmets, the open container, we have heard that they're problematic and most likely will be eliminated before it hits its final format. The chair of the transportation, the Senate chair of the Transportation Committee told me the end of last week that she was hoping the House would take it up this week. I checked just before this meeting and it hasn't been, referred yet. So I'm not sure that's going to be able to happen. That's her goal. We'll have to see. Rob had also asked about the DUI, the 0.05. It is, there wasn't an individual bill, which is dead. It still is in one of the larger bills. Last week during a pre-session press conference, the speaker was asked about it and he said very definitively that he was not going to call it. That same day, the chair of the transportation, one of the chairs of the transportation committee, did a press conference very, very strongly saying she was going to work on this issue and she intended to keep it alive and get it back in front of the legislature. So nobody is quite sure what's going to happen with that. That's an squabble between the two chambers. What else was there? The big DOT and DMV bills are not even close to being ready yet. She believed that they were going to start working to finalize them this week, but also because there's just, I guess it's 2 weeks from this Wednesday left in session. They aren't in today. They're not in this Friday. Monday's Memorial Day. There are not a lot of days left for them to come into session. But she said that their intention is to simply create a lot of big, big, big bills. They're going to start combining the issues into germane main bills. And she felt pretty strongly that that's what we would be dealing with the last week or so of session. So unfortunately, there is most of your issues that you're most concerned about are not yet close to the finish line. You know, as we go along, we obviously will keep you up to date on these as they happen, but we're just all waiting for these big aircraft carrier bills to see what will be in them. So I'm sorry, I don't have anything too definitive yet. A week from now, maybe some of these will be starting to move, but right now they're not.
Yeah, it happened so fast that we thought we'd get Kathy on, because even between the time we booked her and now, there could have been major movement, but
exactly.
Sounds like there's not yet.
No, not yet. But happy to, you know, to do another update down the road as these things finally start to move. Really, from what has happened historically, I would guess most of these big bills will be the very last week of session. You never know. But
well, there's always the implementer.
Oh, there, yeah.
Late at night.
I'm sorry?
Late at night on what, the 5th or the 7th?
Yeah, that has certainly happened before.
Yes, we've gotten locked through.
That's
5 minutes before midnight.
Yeah. So we do what we can to grab stuff early, but.
So Kathy, can we get you on 4 minutes before midnight?
Yeah. How about if I text?
Okay.
Any other questions for Kathy? Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Moving on to the TIP amendments, which the number of projects has doubled since the original notice.
Yeah.
And we'll turn it over to Rob to take us through them.
Yeah. If you look at the sheet here, and it goes on to a second sheet, but really items 1 through 4 were posted at our regular posting over a week ago. Items 5A through, I'm not sure what it goes up to on the next page, 8-something, 10B actually on the next page, came in last minute, late last week, and we posted those to our website on the 19th. So if you looked at earlier versions of this, you might not have seen 5A through 10B. Basically 1 through 4, 1 and 2 is congestion CMAQ funds, which is congestion management mitigation air quality. These came through our solicitation previously, and we had selected, these are two of the projects we selected, Canton and West Hartford, and they are now getting into the TIP for construction for obligation this year. They're both involve electric charging infrastructure or the incremental cost of electric vehicles over the gas vehicles in West Hartford's case. I-384 has some bridge formula funding, which is the appropriate funding source for freeways. Item 4, really, ideally, if Conduit had run it through their typical processes, shouldn't be on this because it involves I-95 and I-395. I spoke with Conduit and they said administratively it was set up this way as a statewide project, and they're asking all the cogs to endorse it. Ideally, it wouldn't have been set up this way, but it's just an administrative thing that they'd like us to do due to how it was set up. So it really doesn't affect us. 5 is interesting. It's the new PROTECT program. And you might have heard Elizabeth talk about PROTECT. And it's a big, not only is it a discretionary funding source, but it's a formula funding source that automatically goes to all the states in even a bigger amount than discretionary. There's been, this is actually the first PROTECT that is getting into a TIP in Connecticut. They're struggling between FHWA and the department to identify what projects are eligible, apparently. And this is the first test case, but they have a lot of money that the state has to spend, $17 million a year, throughout the state on these protect type programs, and everybody's trying to figure out the new rules of the game and what's eligible, including DOT and the feds apparently. And so this is a project in Glastonbury Route 83, replacing a culvert, assuming there's some flooding issues there. And then item 6 through 10B is that RAISE grant that CROG went after and was awarded for the Beeline Trail in New Britain and the connection over from there through Plainville to the East Coast Greenway, and for two projects north-south on the East Coast Greenway to close the gap in the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail. This is the $16.4 million of federal funding that CROG was awarded last calendar year, and it is getting into the tip now, and they are working on contracting with the feds. This is discretionary funding. So similar to the programs that Elizabeth had mentioned before, this is the RAISE grant. So we're in a hurry to get those in. There's a lot of contracting involved, and that's why that came through last second, due to just everybody trying to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed last second. So those are the TIP amendments. Everything I think is in order. I'm excited to see discretionary funds finally get on the TIP and a new program protect on the TIP. So I'd recommend that the committee recommend that the policy board approve these this month.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions? Seeing none, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the proposed TIP amendments and recommend same to the policy board.
So moved, Rob Trottier.
Thank Rob. Is there a second?
Second, Steve Soplak.
Thank you, Stephen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention. It passes unanimously, and we will take it to the policy board on Wednesday. Terry, you have the next two, the Unified Work Planning Program approval and the Conduct Planning Agreement.
Great, thank you. So this first one is seeking the endorsement by the Transportation Committee of our Unified Planning Work Program for fiscal years 24 and 25. This is the document that outlines our 2 years of work that CROG staff can complete using federal transportation planning funds. So that's our whole transportation planning program. Two new studies within the work program for the next 2 years include a regional bike ped priority network plan, as well as a regional warehousing land use and traffic study. We would also potentially build in, if there is a DOT corridor study solicitation, things like that could get added in within that 2 year timeframe. But this is sort of our best assessment of what the next 2 years will look like. So we are looking for, again, endorsement by TC to get policy board approval on Wednesday.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to approve this resolution and recommend same to the policy board.
So moved, Doug Wilson.
Thank you, Doug. Is there a second?
Second, Larry Burrell.
Thank you, Larry. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Again, it passes unanimously, and we will present it to the policy board on Wednesday. Thank you. Kara?
Thank you, John. So this one is largely procedural in nature. Anytime we have a new Unified Planning Work Program, we also need to have a new planning agreement with DOT. And this resolution allows Matt to sign such an agreement on behalf of CROG with the department.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions on this motion? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
Aye.
Oh, aye.
Second, Chris Edge, Berlin.
Thank you both. Any further discussion?
Who made the motion?
I think Steve did.
Steve Soplak.
You all set? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously, and we will present it to the policy board on Wednesday.
Thanks, Rob, everyone.
The annual planning, urban planning certification.
Thanks, John. This is a self-certification that we are required to do annually that says we are complying with all federal laws and regulations regarding our role as the Metropolitan Planning Agency. Every 4 years, the federal, the FHWA and FTA do a certification review where they certify whether or not we're following these rules. But annually, we have to pass this self-certification. In the resolution, it includes four bullets that you see that indicate that we are up to date on our three major required documents, the Unified Planning Work Program that Kara just spoke of, which is a two-year plan for what CROG staff and as an organization we are doing. And then we have the Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, which is a four-year program of programmed federal funded projects. And then we have a long-range Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which is a 20-plus year document, which we just approved in April. So we have our required projects up to date. We also have many other rules and regulations regarding civil rights, minority business enterprise, special efforts for elderly and disabled, the Clean Air Act. But we recommend we self-certify that we're in compliance with them all. We believe we are. So that is the resolution, and we recommend that you make the recommendation to the policy board to approve it.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions of Rob? Hearing none, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the resolution on the urban planning sort of self-certifying.
So moved, Rob Trottier.
Thank Rob. There a second.
Second, Ken Radzwan.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Also passes unanimously and will also be presented to the policy board on Wednesday. And the last action item is the resolution authorizing us to act as the policy board during the months of July and August, I believe. Rob?
I was thinking that you typically take this one, John. Do you care to?
Yeah, well,
I know you like it.
Your cheat sheet said it was you, but I think we all remember this is, I do get a kick out of this one. This is where we are. We act both as the Transportation Committee and as the MPO and the Policy Board for a couple of months while the elected officials go about their summer business. And this year, they'll obviously be a lot more active since it's an election year for most of our communities. And so there will be a lot of politicking going on, obviously. But this is an annual motion that we pass, and we do take it seriously despite how we talk about it. And we have done it very effectively every time they have asked us to do this. And I would urge all of us to again support this resolution. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve this authorizing resolution to allow the Transportation Committee to act on as the policy board.
Devin Copperway, so moved.
Thank you, Devin. Is there a second?
Steve Soplak, second.
Thank you, Stephen. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes. Any other business, staff or committee? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn will be in order. Our next meeting's on June 26, 2023. I'd urge all of you to come to the annual meeting and urge your chief elected official to join you. They're usually a very both entertaining and enjoyable sessions. And with that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Ken Radzwan, so moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Darren Copperway, second.
Take your pick, Karen. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? We stand adjourned until June 26th. Thank you all. Be well. Have a good holiday weekend, and we'll see you in June. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Be well.